The scene opens with William Topp sitting alone at a desk. Everything in the set and costumes are black, white, or a mix of gray. The desk, it's suited with a telephone, set of loose files, and a small cigarette ash bowl. William is wearing a fedora, a trench coat over a nice suit, and smoking a cigarette.
It was a dark and disturbing day, as usual in this black and white world of New York called Manhattan. At 5:42 a.m. in the year 1954, in the corner of Lexington Avenue and 52nd Street, I, the great William Topp, sat in my overpriced chair waiting for the new call to come in. The rain outside reminds me of my third grade, as I was forced to stay in the classroom for recess since there were high waters. A complete tragic part of my life, still hurting to this day.
Susan, in a secretary uniform, enters stage left. She's holding a set of files with cases in it.
Sir, a call just came in.
There she is, Susan LaCrosse, a gorgeous dolly that makes me feel so lucky for her to be my secretary.
Well, sir, you're a bit of a dreamboat yourself, but you keep it up, and I might have to call in a report on you.
Well, what's the news?
A report of a murder came in down the road.
Murder? That can only mean one thing. There's a dead body in the surrounding area and a free wallet.
Good job, detective. That's what was spotted. I suggest you call the new assistant of yours. I heard he did great in his academy training.
Do I have to?
Look, I know that partners are not your thing, not since the incident, but you should give him a chance. He's a good detective. Trust me.
Fine, I'll call him. But I'm not going to be happy about it.
Will picks up the phone and holds it to his ear as Susan walks off stage. Will faces the audience through the upcoming lines.
Yes, Michael H. Barnes, the worst assistant I could ask for. Complete moron as well. Thinks he can work with me out of all people. What a... Ah, yes, a murder. Just down the road from me.
Lights fade. Scene opens up in a living room. A bookshelf resides upstage with a small array of chairs and a table sitting nearby. William and the butler, who made the report, Joy, loom over a body, laying on the floor with a knife next to it. The assistant, Michael, is looking through the set for clues, dusting prints and examining hairs. He's wearing a very similar outfit as William, both the black and white colors flipped. Joy is dressed formally, with a white rose in her suit pocket, and a tray with some plates, party cups, and a vial on it.
And there he was, on the floor.
So you murdered him!
What? I would never do such a preposterous thing. Except I did! I hated the man with a burning passion for how much he mistreated me. And when I gave him his 4 a.m. morning tea, I slipped a bit of the poison right in this cup. Now, I got this detective all in my grasp, so handsome. It's all part of the plan. I love the man. He has been a favored boss for almost my whole life. I can't ever see myself doing something so dastardly as to this poor man.
Well, let's see. If it's not you, and it's not me, then who done it?
Michael Barnes.
Joy Schrader.
Before this gets any worse, has John been in any recent contact with anyone? Maybe had any enemies?
Well, he's had quite a few, being honest.
Let's try to narrow those down.
Enemies! I had an enemy once, long ago. We were in a heated chase, and right as he was turning the corner, I grabbed a tray and BAM! Knocked him out right then and there.
As he swings the tray, a small stack of cups falls off it along with the vial. Michael looks down and picks up the vial, holds it up to his face, and stuffs it in his trench coat pocket. Joy tries to pick up as much of the mess as possible, but gives up and turns to William.
Look! Look at the mess you made! How dare you do something so dastardly? Do you have no respect? My God! You've just gotten right under my skin. I am not one for demands, but I need you to just get out! I've had some trouble keeping my anger tempered. Is he all right?
That must be the door!
William runs over and lets Taylor in. Taylor walks in with a trench coat and a mischievous grin as she slowly strolls towards center stage.
Name's Taylor Gold, you see. A very dangerous woman, you see. Escaped from federal prison. I have my ways, you see. Whole plan on coming in here and killing everyone in this room, you see. But something up with that very charming detective, you see. Unlike the wrench of a sidekick, you see. Makes my guts turn just by looking at him. And my guts has never steered me wrong, you see. I heard the commotion, you see. Live right across the street, you see.
So you know the man.
Oh, little John Smith. Good friends with him, you see. Has a bit too many parties, you see. Drives me insane, you see.
So you did it.
What? I would never, you see. In fact, I did, you see. Killed him, you see, when he was taking a nap, you see, this afternoon, you see, with that knife right there, you see. Jess has been playing his music too loud, you see. Had to shut him down, you see.
So if it's not you, and it's not her, and it's not me, then who can it be?
Clearly her.
This gorgeous man wouldn't accuse little old me, you see.
What she said.
David, wearing a white... white tee and a pair of black sweats, crosses the stage, holding a book that he's very invested in. He then crosses back with a soda in hand. Everyone stops and stares at him.
Does he know we're here?
All shrug.
Hello? Sorry to intrude, but is John here? And who might you be?
Sandra steps out from stage left. She's wearing a nice dress and holding a handbag.
Oh, me? I'm Sandra Huckle. I was supposed to be going out with John. Is he okay? Oh, yeah. He's fine. Yeah, perfectly okay. Just out of town.
He's dead.
Sorry.
Can you come in and answer some questions?
Michael walks Sandra to center. William, Taylor, Joy, and Michael surround her.
Didn't you have a falling out with John?
Well, yes, but...
So you have a reason.
Wait a sec.
She's acting kinda sus, you see.
Look, all we want to know is your relationship with John.
Well, we were very close for so long, and I was just waiting for the moment to arrive when he gets on that one knee and asks me to marry him, but he was growing distant. I was hoping to fix whatever's going on with him with this date, but...
I killed him. Found him sleeping on the couch and shot him in the side. It's dessert for his cheating self. How dare he do such a thing? My plan was to come in and fake all this emotion and prove myself as innocent. And it might just work perfectly with this gorgeous detective and that slow, mistaken apprentice. And now, he's dead!
David crosses from stage right with his head leaned back, sleeping, and comes back with an apple. Standing center stage, takes a long bite out of it and then looks around confused.
What kind of party were you all throwing? Why is John passed out on the floor?
Emo costume party!
Oh, alright, cool.
David walks off stage, but then pokes his head back in.
Oh, and keep it down. Me and my gaming buddies are playing some competitive Scrabble, and we don't want to be disturbed.
David's head disappears off stage.
So what now?
We're gonna lock this place down until we find out who's our main suspect.
Well, that's certainly not us, right?
Well, we should gather the information we have so far first. John has both a gunshot to the abdomen and a knife wound in the back. It also seems that he was drinking something before death.
Well, the butler is always the killer in mystery novels, you see.
But wait a second. Don't you own a firearm? And he's been shot.
Well, I know how he treats you. You're basically trash under him. Probably shot him as well, huh?
Says the one that can't get over him, you see.
Just wait a second. Before we continue, is there anyone else I need to know about in this house?
Carl and Claire enter from stage right, both wearing colorful jumpsuits, visors, and headbands, rocking the 80s style. Carl has a boombox over his shoulder, and Claire has a skateboard wrapped around her arm.
Okay, man, we'll get you a Coke.
Just relax, alright? A gobbledygook is a real word.
My dear, what in the world is wrong with you two?
You both really need a better lifestyle, you see.
I'm sorry, but a murder has happened in this home. Do you possibly know the man, John Smith?
Nope, don't know him, dude. Doesn't ring a bell at all. Just gonna head this way.
Yeah, definitely don't know him. Seems too bad. Okay, bye.
Taylor stands in Carl and Claire's way.
A few questions for you.
Yo, the name's Carl, man.
And I'm Claire, dude.
Alright, Carl, Claire. What's your relationship with John?
I see him at work a lot. We were kinda homeboys in a way.
Homeboy? So he lives with you?
Nah, man, it's like we're bros.
They both fist bump without looking at each other.
Ah, siblings!
We're just co-workers, man.
So were you with John Smith the night of February 3rd?
Huh? Actually, man, we might have killed him. You see, my dudes and dudettes. Carl was on the road doing kickflips outside the house and ran into him by accident.
It was kinda gnarly, bro. We poked him with a stick while eating some cheese puffs afterwards. And then he became a zombie and yelled at us? Really sick, bros. Oh, we didn't do anything, dude.
Alright, wait, hold on one second. We got our five biggest suspects in this very room. I'm gonna need some alibis from each of you. I'll get Taylor and Sandra. You get Carl and Claire. Joy is covered, trust me.
Michael and William pull out three chairs and set Carl, Claire, Sandra, and Taylor on the seats.
All we want to know is what were you two doing at 4:37 a.m. the night of February 3rd?
Grabbing Carl by the collar.
I know you did! Now tell me how!
I just want to go home, man.
Well, sure, you see. I was just sitting at home watching my, book, you see.
It was a knife, wasn't it?
Dude, you need a chill pill.
And I was sleeping, I swear. I need my beauty rest.
Did you see anything around that time, perhaps?
Leave me alone, dude.
I did see a bunch of people, you see. Looks like he was having a party. That's why I was up so late, you see.
William falls to his knees and starts to sob.
I just want to know, please! I need to feed my non-existent family!
We have cheese puffs.
pulls a cheese puff from her front pocket and shows it to William.
William, this isn't going anywhere. Maybe we don't have the right people?
All but Michael begin to give sighs of relief, wipe sweat off the brows, etc.
Wait a minute, I figured it out. William, it's all of them.
Okay, now you're starting to sound like me.
Just listen to me. This vial I found off the butler's tray shows that he was poisoned. And who could have done that? None other than the butler herself, of course, seeking revenge for her mistreatment and loss of a loved one, indicated by her rose in her pocket. Then there's a bullet wound to the abdomen, a bullet from a gun that's not exactly a lethal blow, but can still hurt. That can only be from someone who cares about the victim and the one proven to own a firearm. Lastly, the knife, the number one weapon for psychopaths, only being from Taylor Gold herself. Also, she's literally crazy, and it's so obvious she did it. She's not even hiding it.
What about Carl and Claire? Seems suspicious to me. Probably should check them out.
Oh, they probably didn't do anything.
I would never think about that.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard, see?
The evidence says otherwise.
Oh, yeah? Well, you'll never get me alive.
In a quick flash, everyone except Taylor, Carl, and Claire begins to pull guns or an array of off-the-top items like finger guns, bananas, and etc. Taylor is throwing things out of her trench coat looking for a gun, slowly becoming more absurd.
Whoa, dudes. How about we do something like a dance battle or something? I've got my boombox.
How about you two just get out of our way before this gets messy?
Alrighty, guys, we'll leave you to it.
Carl and Claire hide behind the table, peeking slightly above to watch the commotion. David crosses from stage right to left, unaware of the standoff happening.
Look, this doesn't have to go this way. We outnumber the two of you. Just let us go.
Joy and Taylor agree.
You're right. Will, drop your guns.
What? No!
Just do it. Trust me. I got this planned. You haven't given me a single opportunity since I've come here, and all I've done is try my best to prove myself to you. Just let me have this.
You know what? Show me your best, Michael.
They both drop their weapons. Joy walks over to retrieve them.
So, Joy, anger issues, huh? You know that's from a large period of family problems and trauma, usually. How about you tell me about that?
Well, it came from my old partner, my husband. Loved him with all my heart, until I was sent here.
Tell me more about your partner.
Well, it all started.
It was a cold, dark night in December. My partner Sylvia and I were hot on our suspect's tail when I was distracted by a shiny quarter in the middle of a store. After grabbing the shiny quarter, I looked up and realized Sylvia had already caught the thief and stole all the credit for herself. Since then, I can't trust anyone anymore. Wait, was that not directed towards me?
That's why you've been treating me like this? You don't want me stealing the credit?
Well, you do have your fun. We'll be on our way.
Not if I can help it.
Claire jumps out and whacks Joy with the tray. She falls over and the others drop their weapons in shock. William and Michael quickly run over to see the three of them and handcuff them, with Taylor struggling throughout and after the process.
How's my style now, yo?
Yeah. Don't mess with us.
Carl and Claire fist bump within a very laid-back style. Officer Hendricks, followed by Officer Strong, enter stage left in a rush.
I just got the call, Detective. Is everything okay?
Hands in the air! Oh, nabbit. It's all covered.
You called someone?
Good job, Officer Hendricks and Officer Strong. Could have used you back there, but glad you're here to put these criminals away for good.
All in a day's work, Detective.
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling detective and that dumb assistant, you see. Well, I guess that's something you don't see every day, huh?
Oh, you shut up! Now get a move on, you three.
What an astounding case, Detective. One grand twist from the classic Agatha Christie novel with the subtle twist at the end perfect. However, the stereotypes of having all the suspects under one convenient roof is a bit overdone, don't you think?
Hendricks, let's get a move on. Oh, and good job, you two.
Couldn't have done it without the detective.
The three, followed by Officer Hendricks and Strong, leave stage left. Carl and Claire leave back through stage right, with David following after them from stage left. David sees the suspects walking out and stands there in shock.
Wait a minute. I gotta tell the guys.
David runs off stage right. William and Michael move center stage.
I have something for you. Thank you for your help.
Places a medal on Michael.
Detective?
Detective? Wait, I'm a detective?
Michael embraces William.
That's right. You're the best detective I've seen. I've been so caught up in keeping my distance in order to keep myself from being hurt again that I didn't put my trust in you. I never got to see your potential until I did trust you for once, and you have so much potential. That's why I want you to be my partner in solving crime, rather than just an assistant. Thank you again, Michael, not just for this case, but open my eyes to trust again.
Just doing my job, sir. Say, you want to grab some drinks? It's been a long night.
Absolutely.
They begin walking off.
Is anyone going to come and clean this up by chance?
We'll get the tech guys to do it.
Fine by me.
Lights out. The end.